Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so welcome to a last-minute emergency podcast episode of Gamertag Radio. And also joining me for this episode, we have Mandy, a.k.a. Lady Luck.
Woo woo! What's up, everyone? Yeah, last minute. We decided on this like an hour ago.
Yeah, very, very super last minute. And the reason is because Nintendo had a Treehouse presentation of Paper Mario, and also they had another game that they just announced, which I really don't care about it, but I don't know if you were you interested for the announcement at all.
Bakugan is interesting because it's licensed and they're doing it exclusively on Switch, so I'm interested in like the business implications of that, but I never really got into Bakugan. I was always like Pokemon and Digimon, Zoids, things like that, so Bakugan wasn't really an IP that I played a lot.
yeah. And Nintendo gave us a hint, like, hey, guys, this is a third party.
Well, it's because they said something was going to come from WayForward. And then speculation apparently got so out of hand that Nintendo felt very strongly they had to walk it back a bit to manage expectations. So they were like, hold on, guys, it's a third party IP. Yeah. Like, cool your jets.
Hey, at least it's better than just staying quiet the whole time, you know?
Oh, yeah, because then, of course, it would have just turned into riots on Twitter.
Yep. So, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and other podcast apps. Just make sure to post a review. If you can, subscribe, follow us. It will help us out. Also, if you would like to be part of fan mail, which we've been getting a lot of emails and voicemails from our community, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to be talking about our thoughts about the presentation of Paper Mario. And before we start, Mandy, I have to say this. I think this is like the first time that a first-party game from Nintendo has no Nintendo Directs, no E3, just like, hey, the game is coming out in a month. So I'm super curious to see the results from that because of the situation that we're in. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I'm curious to see how people are going to react with that. Like, are they going to go buy it day one? They're going to buy it later? You know, because I mean, it's a strong franchise. It's anything with Mario, it sells like crazy, right? But aren't you curious too about that? Like, no Nintendo Direct? No, you know? So this is the first time that we only got to see the gameplay.
Yeah, because so far we've really only seen some trailers, and most of them are relatively, like, they put out a fun little, like, 30-second one earlier this week, last week? I don't know, time blurs. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how it performs. I definitely think that there is this really core cult following for the Paper Mario games. Like, I'm super stoked. I played the Thousand Year Door. So for me, I'm like, the gameplay mechanic of Paper Mario for me is super interesting. So I know I'm going to get it day one. But it's kind of perceived to me as like a bunch of people will buy it day one. Everybody that knows Paper Mario, or they're looking for something new to play, because obviously we're, you know, all things said and done, we're still in a pandemic. And then it's hopefully going to be like this fun, obviously Mario-themed game that's going to sit on shelves or on the websites, I guess, that hopefully is, you know, a family or a parent's like, oh, I need something for my kid to do. or I want to buy them a new game, and they go look and like, oh, what's this? It's Mario, so it should be okay. Like, I'm very interested to see how it does.
Yeah, actually, I'm searching to see right now how many views does the trailer has on their official. All right, so I'm looking at the Treehouse Live from a few seconds ago. They just stopped. It has almost 320,000 views on this, and I can imagine after, because remember, a lot of people start watching it pre-recorded. So let's give this like a couple of days. But I'm going to go to their channel to see how many views does the Paper Mario has now. So I'm going to check right now. This is real time, folks. So
yeah, we're literally, I'm like sitting on the page too, going like, oh, let's see.
Yeah. So, wow, almost 750,000 views from a trailer that they posted, the one that you were talking about, from 3 days ago. And I know there was an announcement even before that. I think it was like maybe like a month ago or so, right, Mandy? So it has
to
be probably
like
over a
million. Yeah, I'm like scrolling to see if I can find it.
Yeah, I'm looking for it too.
Yeah, there's one that was a closer look that was 4 weeks ago.
1.4 million.
Yep. And then
yeah, 1.4 million.
I'm looking for like the announcement. Was that the announcement?
I think that was it. 1.4 million. So,
oh, here we go. Okay. There was an announcement trailer. It's marked as a month ago, so I don't know what the difference between a month and 4 weeks is here. Well done, YouTube. Mm-hmm. But the announcement trailer is almost 5 million views. And,
wow.
And as context, as you look at videos that sit around it in the same time frame, most of them are sitting between like 1 and 200K. So like the exception is this performance of the Animal Crossing New Horizons theme song that has 1.2 million views. So for all that we're joking about, like nobody's seen it, like comparatively to the rest of the content that's on their channel, it's performing many, many more times in terms of people seeing it and watching it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's bigger than we thought.
Insane. Yeah. So I think this is going to sell a lot of units, man. A lot. And remember, people, especially the Nintendo Switch owners, were very hungry for new content, especially first party, anything when it comes to like Nintendo. So I think this is going to sell pretty well, I think. We'll see. We'll see. Right now, I mean, you can't compare views to like actual sales, but
it just gives you an idea of interest. Is so you're saying like, you know, either a bunch of us are just rewatching the trailer over multiple times, which is a possibility. We're just nerds and we're like, oh, that was really cool. I'll watch it again. Or there is a significant amount of interest in the game.
But it's cool. It's cool to see that though. Very, very cool. Now, let's talk about what they showed us, the gameplay footage, because they were playing actually live on the stream. Do you like the fighting mechanics in this? Because this seems very different than the previous Paper Mario games.
It does. So it was funny because I was taking notes as I was watching it, and it's interesting in the sense that I'm intrigued by this idea of puzzle solving and like what it takes to complete a battle. So we got to see a couple of like shorter basic like running into common enemy battles, and they actually showed a boss battle as well. I had that split second where as I'm watching it, I'm going like, this seems like it's going to be a really long boss battle, but that could also be because I'm watching and not playing. I'm intrigued. Like conceptually, I like the idea of what they're trying to do. I'm not sure if I'm going to feel the same way once I actually play it.
Yeah, I have the same thoughts too. Because, I mean, look, Paper Mario reminds me kind of like the old school RPG from Super Mario RPG. Remember that? Square Enix? But it's always been a little bit different. But it reminds me of that type of vibe, like the old Paper Mario's. With this one, it's RPG-ish, but it's also puzzle solving too in there. So at first I was kind of like, I don't know, but then once I started watching like the bosses and the enemies, like the battle was getting more difficult, I'm like, you know what, I could try this out. I think I'm gonna like it. I just didn't like the trailer where they showed, because I think it seemed too easy.
Yeah,
But watching the boss battle, I'm like, okay, this is going to be challenging right here.
And in the battles they showed, now granted, you know, we say all of this because we're watching people that have played the game before and their intent is to show it to us. So they, I don't want to say they took the easiest path, but the couple of those like common enemy battles, I was like, oh, that's super simple. And, you know, but then as you said, watch the boss battle and you're like, oh, this, like, it gets more complicated. I can totally see people trying to like max out that puzzle element. Then people like me who are like, dude, I just want to finish the battle and progress the story. So I definitely like, I'm intrigued. I'm willing to give it a chance. Like, I'm not immediately, now having seen more, I'm not immediately in fear of what the combat will be like, but it's absolutely one that I have to be able to go through and actually play it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are your thoughts of, the enemies, the story?
Oh my God. So also, I think I have a note here that's basically one note that's all caps that says "so cute," which is basically the
so
whole
cute.
Thing. And then I have the one immediately beneath it that says all the puns. So I think like conceptually, I like this story. I'll definitely say that I felt like they were drawing a lot of parallels to Breath of the Wild, to Zelda, like, you know, that the castle ends up getting kind of taken over, and then suddenly it's, I don't know, like that idea that you need to now go to other places in the world and defeat something and be able to kind of open up the path to the castle. It's very Breath of the Wild, sacred beasts. The fact that you can find toads hidden across the entire world, and that getting them provides you some additional benefits. That's very much like finding the little Kuroks characters in Breath of the Wild. So, I mean, I thought that was interesting, but I'm not against it. And honestly, like, there were just like some funny little things, like, you know, Princess Peach walks out and she's origami. And what is it she said? I think the thing I caught out of it was like, are you going to crease yourself and be reborn like me? And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, that part of what you were talking about, Toad. So you could actually summon Toads or multiple Toads to help you. So I know one of the parts that we got to see was the boss battle, and the person that was playing actually summoned a bunch of Toads, and they were like all over the place surrounding the boss, and they gave you also health. Am I wrong? Was that the only thing they did, or was there other things besides that? Because I feel like his health was kind of low. Once he summoned Toad, they gave him health, and that's it.
Health was one of the things they did. So if I understood it correctly, basically you can summon the Toads, and depending on how many coins you use to summon them, you're going to get potentially multiple buffs. So in that instance, you got health. They dropped a couple of things on the board, and then they also gave him like a highlighted path of where his Mario or his character would go if he didn't adjust any of the rings. And then he shifted the rings, and immediately that path updated in real time. So my understanding is basically the Toads give you an opportunity for, at least in combat, for a variety of potential buffs to help you. And then obviously finding them, some of them will go back to Toad Town. So one they found ended up like picking up his stuff. And it's like, oh, I'm an accessory seller. Going back to Toad Town, come by if you want to buy anything. So I think that there's kind of these multiple benefits that you'll get from having them.
Yeah. So I noticed there was three type of combats that we got to see. One is the easy one is you line up the enemy and you could go... it's like a circle. I want people to picture this. It's a circle, multiple circles that you could switch and you could rotate until you put the enemies into like a straight line, one after each other, right? And then you will jump on top of the enemies and you will kill them. That's one, right? The second one was now there's more enemies, but now you can use your hammer to battle with them once you rotate and you figure out like the correct format. And then you could use your hammer to attack them. Now, with the boss, I noticed it was like a path where you could also pick up items, go to like certain areas where you could battle the enemy at the front or at the back. But that part seems very tricky because it depends if you follow the arrows, it will take you to like different locations. You could also, if you go to the wrong location, the boss also will attack you and it will hurt you big time. So you have to be like really, really smart on where you're going to go. So, but you could also rotate the circle and you figure out where to go in that location to battle the boss.
The rings, like I feel so bad for all the people that are listening to this going like, what? Go watch the gameplay video. That will give you context. But yeah,
yes.
It's super interesting because, as you said, like it evolves when you get from like one enemy to multiple enemies to a boss battle. And it was interesting to kind of see the escalation of how difficult the combat could be. And the kind of the implication of not just the puzzle element, but I guess like the strategic thinking you're going to have to do to like, okay, what's going to have the most impact on this enemy? Or I will say, throwing in the, it sounded like they were explaining that your various weapons can have an impact, or can not have an impact, can wear over time, I guess. Like in the boss battle, he had multiples of everything. And I was like, oh, is this going to be like Breath of the Wild where your weapons eventually break and you have to find more?
Yeah, it reminds me of like Skyrim and like those type of RPGs that you have to fix it in order for your weapon to come back and be normal. Yeah. If not, if it's damaged, then it's going to be a lot weaker. If you try to battle enemies, it's going to take you a lot longer.
Yeah.
To defeat them because of that.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. So I didn't catch if it was like, if it was Skyrim where you have to repair things, or if it was Breath of the Wild where eventually they'll just disappear or be destroyed after too many uses. But it definitely, again, it adds more and more layers to the strategy of what you do when you go into combat.
Yeah. What are your thoughts of Bowser?
Oh my God, it was very, so great.
It's like a little piece.
Yeah, so
like a little piece.
So we saw him and I was laughing too, because when you're watching the trailer, so this is, you know, spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it yet, or the gameplay that they were playing, he like, Mario like grabs him and tries to fling him out. And I was so sure he was going to unfold and he did it. And then he's like, huh, I thought I was going to unfold. Like, exactly. And then he's like running up the stairs, but he's still like that folded paper. So he's like struggling to run up the stairs. I saw somebody on Twitter call him a pizza box. And I was like, yep.
Yep. Later part in the game, he will turn into regular Bowser. The thing is, he's missing pieces. So it looks like he's like your companion.
Yeah.
Just there walking around. So it reminded me of another RPG, which was Fable 3.
Yes.
Where you have a companion, a dog, that's like after you the whole time.
Wow, so it reminds calling you of that Bowser type of dog.
Yeah,
you're putting him on that level of it. Yeah, but that was the thing. So it was interesting because they make the Origami King look very, or they set him up very much as this enemy that everybody in the Mushroom Kingdom is going to have to work against. So the fact that you are running around and helping Bowser, there were a couple little clips in one of the kind of video, like pre-cut trailer videos that they did that showed, I think, Kid Bowser and things like that. So you're like, oh, I might actually have to work together with enemies who are typically, or with characters who are typically enemies to Mario. I also like that there's just a bunch of puns and that there were a bunch of puns, and that the companion, one of the companions you pick up, one of the origami guys, is also consistently, like, they showed at least three times where he's like, I have faith in Mario because he has a mustache.
Yeah. No, it looks interesting. I mean, the game comes out, like, in a week or so, right?
The 17th.
The 17th. There you go. So it's very, very soon. Hopefully I'll get a copy from Nintendo. I'm not sure yet. They always send me codes and stuff, so we'll see. But I'm excited to play this. You know, I've been playing a lot of Nintendo Switch lately, more than anything else, because I've been the other day I purchased the Bioshock collection. So I started playing Bioshock Infinite, which to me, in my opinion, is the best of the series. I finished that game. I also finished recently Bioshock 2, which originally I didn't like the game when it came out. Back in the early days.
Was it because of the multiplayer?
because of the multiplayer, and I just find the game boring. But finishing the game now, I appreciate it a lot more now. So it's pretty good. So, and I'm also gonna go back and play part one. So I'm going like from 3, 2, and
now you're working your way backwards instead of starting at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, but I appreciate 2 a lot more now. But I think as the series, Infinite is the best one. I just love the animation, the enemies, the environment, the boss battles, the music, the voice acting. It was a lot more. I think BioShock 1 and 2 seems a lot darker, very, very darker, and it was kind of creepy at that time. BioShock Infinite was more like, what's going on? What's up with these people? It was like a lot of questions, you know?
Yeah.
It was creepy, but creepy in a different way. So, yeah, but that's what I've been playing a lot lately.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, same thing. I've been playing a lot of the Pokemon expansion, the Isle.
Oh, which we're going to play the audio. We're going to play the audio of your impressions later on.
The Isle of Armor. Listen to my impressions to hear what I think. So I've definitely added several more hours to Pokemon Sword with that. I have a couple of indie games I've been working on Switch as well. And then I've also been playing a little bit on PC, but it's largely been very non-intensive games. So a lot of what I've been playing has been like either light or brightly colored, like lighthearted, need good things in my life. So like Pokemon is just bright and silly and, you know, obviously meant for kids, but fun to play as an adult. I'm playing a indie title called Super Crush KO, which is lots of bright colors in the like kind of pinks and neon range. You're playing a story of a girl whose cat has been kidnapped by an alien, and you're trying to get your cat back. Very silly, very indie kind of platformer brawler to an extent, and. On PC, I've been playing Subnautica. So again, like not a lot of all of these games have very little pressure in them. It's just like,
yeah,
take your time, enjoy what
chill.
You're doing.
Yeah, it's very chill. And I downloaded CrossCode. Wait, is it Cold Cross? Wait, was
CrossCode?
It
CrossCode.
CrossCode. So I downloaded that on my Xbox One because it's available on Game Pass, and the game is really cool. It reminds me of. Kind of like Zelda, Link to the Past, like that type of vibe. 16-bit, the music is amazing. The game is really good. It's really cool. And it has a lot of puzzles too in that game. A lot
of
puzzles.
Oh, nice. It's on my list.
So I just started playing. So I just finished chapter 1. Now I'm on chapter 2. And yeah, this crazy boss battles there. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Really, really cool. Like it, man. So I think people are going to like it if they manage to download this for Xbox One or PC. Also, it's available for Nintendo Switch
and
PlayStation 4. Yeah. Yeah. I tried to get a code. Actually, multiple codes because I wanted you to get one too, Mandy. I forgot to tell you that. So I tried to get it and PR was telling me, no, we ran out of Nintendo Switch and Xbox One. The only thing we have is only PS4. I was like, it's okay, man, because I know you wanted this Nintendo Switch.
I like that it travels, and also I'm just not home right now, so I don't have a PS4 I could play on. But yeah, no, exactly. It's interesting. I've definitely been picking up a lot more games that are multi-platform on the Switch now because I like that it travels, or I can sit on the, go sit on the couch or lay in bed and play for like 30 minutes before I go to sleep, like. Mm-hmm. That sort of flexibility is really nice, that I don't just have to sit in front of my computer screen as much as I like playing on my PC.
Yeah, and the thing that I've been doing a lot, and I'm going to play the Pokemon impressions here, like the expansion very, very soon, in a few minutes. But what I've been doing too is I love playing single player games on my Nintendo Switch because those games I could travel. I could go take the train. Or on my home, I just want to just lay back, stay away from online, and I just start playing. So Skyrim is one of them. I did that with The Witcher 3 for Nintendo Switch. Now I'm doing BioShock and CrossCode. So those are games that just, hey, man, I just want to play by myself. I don't want to do no Battle Royale or any online activities, just playing single player, and I'm good, you know? So, yeah. So hopefully we're going to get more of those type of content in the future for the Switch. So, all right, Mandy. So we're going to play your audio. You want to do a little introduction before I play it?
Oh, yes. So you'll get to hear some initial first impressions of the Pokemon Sword and Shield expansion, the first part of it, which is the Isle of Armor. At the time, I had not yet completed the full story portion of it, so you're going to kind of just get overall first thoughts on the environment and what you're going to see there, the characters you're going to run into, and some of the story tasks that you're going to get to complete as you kick off the Isle of Armor.
Awesome. And thank you to Nintendo for providing us with the code. And I also gave one code away to one of our Discord members. I just randomly just put it on Discord on our Pokemon channel. And somebody randomly picked it up. I don't know who did, but shout out to you, whoever did.
Hopefully you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and have fun, for sure. Have fun. All right, so we're going to play the audio right now, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
What is up, Gamertag Radio? This is Lady Luck, and today I have for you first impressions on the Isle of Armor expansion for Pokemon Sword and Shield. Thank you to Nintendo for the code to check this out, and jumping right in. So for everybody that knows me, I love Pokemon, so getting more Pokemon is always exciting. And this is the first of two expansions that are part of the current pass you can buy for Pokemon Sword and Shield. And Isle of Armor now, Crown Tundra later in the year. So really just going to be focusing on this new piece. You get to take the train from Wedgehurst Station, for those of you that have already played Pokemon Sword and or Shield. And that will take you to the new location. Now, as always with any of the Pokemon games, there are some minor differences between Sword and Shield. So for instance, the rival character that you'll run into on the Isle of Armor will be different between the two versions. And there will, as always, be some minor differences in a couple of exclusive Pokemon and what have you. But overall, there's actually a good amount here. It introduces a bunch of new environments. The Isle of Armor really works a lot like the wild area in the base game from a design standpoint. So you can bicycle or run, traverse, and all of the areas flow into each other. You do have a couple of locations that pop up as places that you can fly to. But to start with, you're going to have to obviously visit them first. They introduced more than 100 new Pokemon, and I really like how they set this up, actually, because when you go into the Pokedex, they're going to break it out between the base game that you've already played and the Pokemon that you'll run into on the Isle of Armor, which makes it really great for keeping track of the Pokemon that you're trying to find there and the ones that are new. You'll see a lot of Gen 1 Pokemon, so your Pikachus, your Slowpokes, all of those, as well as some additional Pokemon across the other generations, and of course, some new ones as well, including a new legendary Pokemon, Cubfu, who's actually super, super cute. I love his introduction animation first time you get to run into him. So when you get to the Isle of Armor, you're going to run into your new rival in Pokemon Sword, which is what I played on. This is Clara, and she is hilarious. I love her dialogue, the facial expressions they give her. Her fashion choices are quite interesting. She's super excited to be a poison type user, and she was actually really fun to run up against into multiple places. So I am gonna reiterate that this is a first impressions. I've made it a significant amount of time in. I'd say probably about 6 or 7 hours of playtime, but I haven't progressed the full story item that you're doing on the Isle of Armor yet, because I get easily distracted exploring and catching new Pokemon. So you're going to see a lot of new environments, several, they all flow into each other really well. I've caught a lot of new Pokemon as well. And in the process of this, you run into your new rival, and you'll find out that the Isle of Armor actually hosts the Battle Dojo, where you'll meet Master Mustard. And side note, I was very entertained. They make him this kind of like very old school style old guy who's, you know, here in charge of all of these young Pokemon trainers who are looking to like train and get better. And then you meet his wife, who strangely seems much younger than him. But, you know, okay, honey's still really cool. She has some great dialogue lines, too. They did a good job with the writing for this whole section. So you're going to be going through a series of trials to impress Master Mustard as that you've accidentally ended up there and become a student of. Happens kind of intentionally, I guess. I really like the outfit they give you, though. And as you progress through those trials, you'll get to move along the story. And of course, that eventually gets you the point of being able to interact with the new legendary Pokemon, Kubfu, who is super cute. And again, I had a lot of fun being introduced to him. I have not yet gotten to use him in combat, though. So I think the main thing here is that you're going to be able to explore a lot of new area. I haven't even been through all the portions of the island yet. I've still missed a couple of them. And honestly, while I've been through kind of the primary environments, I have not yet been able to actually fully explore all of them. So I think I have a number of hours left to really go check things out, go offshore, take my bicycle that can go on water, and check out some of the small islands. I found like a Pokemon way in the distance. So I was like, is that a Pokemon? I don't know. Let me go out there. And like disappearing into the horizon before I found it. It was a Pokemon. Spoiler. You're going to meet a lot of interesting new people, which most of them are quite entertaining. There's really this interesting family that deals with Diglets. I'm not sure where that's going, but okay, yeah, cool. It's fine. It gives you something to do as a side. And just a lot of interesting, you get to build out your Pokedex, you get to see kind of these new areas, and I've had a lot of fun doing that. And then obviously progressing the storyline with the Battle Dojo and the characters like Mustard and Ensword Clara. As I mentioned before in Pokemon Shield, that is a different character, but I'm imagining that the progression leads much the same. And of course, you'll also find other things like people who are there that would like to trade for Pokemon from the region that you've been in and all other little things like that. So overall, I've found that I'm really enjoying playing through the Isle of Armor expansion if you played Pokemon Sword and or Shield and enjoyed it, or if you've been thinking about them. I do think that the expansion is quite fun and well worth it. And keeping in mind that the expansion pass, which is $30 US, includes the Crown Tundra, which is the next expansion releasing later this year, I feel like you're getting a lot of extra content. So if you've played those games and you're really looking for more to do or a bigger Pokedex to complete, absolutely worth picking it up. And if you're still not sure yet, there'll be time in the future. So thanks for listening. Once again, this was a quick first impressions of the Isle of Armor expansion in Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I am out.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Mandy, thank you for your audio. Quick impressions of the new expansion of Pokemon. Right, part one, you said?
Part one, yeah. So the expansion pass that they did is two parts. The Isle of Armor, which is already out now for Pokemon Sword and Shield. And then the Crown Tundra will be coming out later this year to both versions as well. It's just marked as fall, so I'm expecting like a September-October release date.
Yeah, I see more October than September. Because I think October, it will be the one-year anniversary of Pokemon, right?
It's been that long. I don't know.
Make sure, go look it up. But I think I'm 100% sure it came out in October.
I'm going to be like, right. It's going to be totally.
I think it's October because I remember.
November.
Okay.
It was November 15th.
Close enough.
So we were both wrong.
Close enough. I just want 2020 to be over. That's a problem.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, the first half of this year has felt like a century. But yeah, no. So if you pick up the pass, the expansion pass for either Pokemon Sword or Pokemon Shield, or both, if you are that much of a dedicated Pokemon player, you'll get some additional content later in the year.
Awesome. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you to Mandy for joining this emergency podcast episode. And look, that's going to happen once in a while. When anything Nintendo related, I'll definitely hit you up, Mandy, so we can make it happen.
You know it's going to happen. I'll be like, yes. I'm like sitting here going like, I want to tell you about what I've seen.
Yeah. That's cool. It's cool. But everybody, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find it on any podcast app. And make sure to also follow Mandy on Twitter. That's LadyLuck34. Once again, LadyLuck34 on Twitter. And let her know that you listen to this episode and you like the review, or you hate the review and you hate her up.
Totally open to hearing feedback and having a conversation that might devolve into an argument, but that's cool.
Yes. Yeah, she's ready for it. She's ready for the challenge.
I am ready. Let's go.
Let's go. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. This is Danny.
And Mandy.
Until next time, thank you for listening.
See you.
We're out. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.